Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll get a chance to join in with us here this afternoon. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call here this afternoon. You can call us toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the radio here this afternoon. And I hope that you're doing well today. It's a absolutely beautiful day here in northeastern Ohio for the first day of December. It's really beautiful outside. I mean, I left my house and I was kind of in the, I think the low 40s, and as I got up here further north, closer to the lake, here to the studio, it seemed like I say up, that's up in a relative terms, because I'm so used to, because I live kind of in a valley, but in terms of actual elevation, my house sits higher than the ridge that the station is sitting on, because I'm south of here where the elevations are higher. And we always joke in Richfield that it's downhill from Richfield to both Cleveland and Akron. So, but at any rate, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And I will be with you here, like I said, until 2 o'clock. You can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, or our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook at, you just go to facebook.com/, well, we're on Live with Pastor Al, and I've got it set right now, streaming on our, I just realized I'm streaming on our Bible Baptist Church account right now. That's my home church. So if you're over there, I am actually going to switch the live broadcast over to our Facebook page for the radio program. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. So I'm going to switch us over to there. So I apologize if you're on watching there. We're going to switch it over and put it on that one. So let's see if I can get this. I got to hit the right buttons here. This is trying to do a couple things here at the same time. All right, but give me just a moment if you're trying to follow us online there. We had some people already trying to watch us there, and I think I got that running. And, of course, you can find out more about us there. That's up and running then. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. We've got our live stream going there right now, so you can check us out there. Wanted to mention a couple things here today, being such a beautiful day and the beginning of December. And I'd like to touch on a couple of things in addition to some things in the scripture I want to touch on here today. Or, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you ever like to look up at the night sky, there's a couple of things coming up that are kind of interesting tonight in particular, and you don't have to stay up real late for this, since the sun's going down at an earlier and earlier time. The space shuttle is going to be visible tonight. If the skies are clear, you should be able to get a good look at it at 5:26 p.m. here in northeastern Ohio, in the Akron-Cleveland area. If you look west-southwest at about, it's going to appear about 45 degrees above west-southwest, and it's going to be visible for about 4 minutes, and it's going to go almost straight overhead. It's supposed to reach a max height of about 83 degrees above the horizon. To give you some perspective here, if you're standing outside and you look straight up, that's 90 degrees, and if you look halfway between straight up and the horizon, that's 45 degrees. So if you look at west-southwest at about, I'd start looking at about 5:24, 5:25, so that you can take a look. And then you should see it come up above the trees or buildings or whatever is in your west-southwest horizon. And it'll head from there to the northeast. And it's kind of fun to watch it. It's caught it the other night. And if you miss it tomorrow or tonight, this is actually kind of one of the interesting things. The speed at which the space station orbits the Earth, if you miss it at 5:26, go out again at 7:02, or if you saw it at 5:26 and you want to see it again, you may be able to see it at 7:02 if you're in an area where you have a lot of visibility toward the horizon. It'll still come out of the west-northwest, and it'll head to the northwest, but it won't be very high. It'll only be about 7 degrees at the most, starts about 10 degrees above the horizon, and only lasts about 2 minutes. But check it out about 5:26 tonight. You should be able to see it. Other thing I wanted to mention, too, that you can see coming up on December 3rd, and today's the 1st, so that's going to be, what, Sunday night, I guess. Let's see, today's 1st, yeah, Sunday's going to be the 3rd. Supermoon, the only supermoon this year, will be the brightest full moon this year, and you can check that out, and that's always kind of neat to look and you get an optical illusion, which makes the moon look bigger when it's close to the horizon. And a supermoon just means that it's a full moon that coincides when the moon is at its closest point to the Earth in its orbit. It's an elliptical orbit. It's not a perfect circle. It's more oval-shaped. And so as a result, the moon varies between about 252,000, 226,000 miles from the Earth. And so it'll be at its closest point this year. They call that a supermoon when it hits during the full moon. And it makes the moon look larger, and it makes it look brighter. So it'll be noticeably brighter. It's supposed to be about 16% brighter. And look for that on Sunday evening. It's just kind of neat when you look at this. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And that's why I like to mention some of those things every once in a while. Well, again, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, 888-677-9673. And I want to mention let me turn over here. I was going to turn over here to a couple things. Had a question that we started dealing with last week, dealing with Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, the question had to do with the speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2. And, you know, whether that is something that should be happening today, meaning a repeat of what was happening in Acts chapter 2. And let me just give a brief summary of what I covered last week there, talking about in Acts chapter 2. And it says here in Acts chapter 2, starting verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, they were all together there waiting, and that's because when Jesus ascended up into heaven in Acts chapter 1, he had told them to wait in Jerusalem. And he specifically said in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so what happened here on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 is they were waiting for this to occur. And the Bible says, as they were gathered together there in one accord, it says in verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And it said, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." And so this miraculous occurrence takes place, and the Bible says in verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, I'm reviewing some things that I spoke about previously to set the stage for where we're going, but notice the language here. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus, before his departure, had breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And we also see in the book of Acts as a transition book, as the Holy Ghost is poured out upon various groups. Remember the Samaritans, there was a group that was the followers of John the Baptist that hadn't heard about Jesus. And then there was the Gentiles, where Peter was sent to speak to Cornelius and his household, and as they came to Christ, they were reluctant. Remember the Jewish people, the Jewish believers, I should say, those coming from a Jewish background, many of them honestly thought that the gospel was only for the Jewish people, not the Gentiles. And so God had to work in the hearts of the Jewish people, the Jewish believers, I should say, in order to let them know that God really was reaching the Gentiles, and in doing so, he gave the sign of speaking in tongues. Well, here's what's happening in Acts chapter 2 again. What's happening here is it's during the Feast of Pentecost. There's many people who are gathered together in Jerusalem from all around the world, and they're all gathered there for these special holy day celebrations and feasts and different things going on. And they naturally would have been talking about the events that had taken place previously when the whole affair with Jesus Christ being crucified, and was he the Messiah or not? And so when we look at that, we wonder, they wondered what the case was. Was he or wasn't he? Was this new movement, these people who followed this Christ, were they, was this a movement of God? And so what God is doing here in Acts chapter 2 is he's putting his authentication on this with this miracle that takes place. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And as I've said before, I'm in this studio right now, but I don't fill this building. The building has me in it, but I don't fill the building, because there are a lot of places in this building where the studio is that are off limits to me. I'm not allowed to go to. And when we're saved, the Holy Ghost takes up residence in us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is in us when we're saved. He comes into us. In fact, Paul specifically says in the book of Romans that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And so we understand that. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, let me read this here. He says, "But ye are not in the flesh," he's talking to believers here, "but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Now, this is an interesting presentation of the gospel, the Godhead here. If you notice this, did you notice it says, "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you," and then it says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his," and then it says, "If Christ be in you." And so we've got the Spirit of God. This is God's Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ. This is telling us that Jesus Christ is God, because we have the Spirit of Christ. God's Spirit's the same Spirit that the Spirit of God is in the previous sentence. It's in us. And then it says, "If Christ be in you," this is showing that Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit are all part of the Godhead. They are God. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the Godhead, but remember, we're created in the image of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, that God created man in his image. And then in chapter 2, it gives a description of Adam being formed of the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so that gives us the threefold nature of man: a body, a soul, and a spirit. The spirit would be the breath that was breathed into him, the breath of life, and the soul would be the mind, of course, the body. And you can see how that corresponds to the threefold nature of God. God the Father, that would correspond to the mind. God the Spirit, that would correspond to the spirit. and then God the Son, corresponding to the body. So you can see how we're in the image of God. God is one God with three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You and I are each one person with three persons in the sense of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, like I said, didn't want to get off on that too much, but you can see how Christ is equated with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is equated as being the Spirit of Christ. It's all about the Godhead there, showing that God, that Jesus Christ is God. And the Spirit is God. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, then God is in you. And if God is in you, then Christ is in you. God the Father is in you. God the Holy Spirit is in you. But it said, hey, we have God in us. We've received Him, all of Him. But the problem is, He doesn't always fill us. And the Bible admonishes us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost here in Acts chapter 2, and I'm using the two interchangeable, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and I'm using them interchangeably because the Bible uses them interchangeably. Notice that, Acts 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they went out preaching and speaking of the praising and glorifying God, and people heard them in a variety of languages. This was to let the Jewish people who were in and around Israel know, in and around Jerusalem know, that this was a work of God. And so for that reason, this was a singular event. This, in a sense, was the birth of the church. We had the conception of the church, of course, when Jesus called together his followers and began preparing them. And just like when a baby is born, it didn't begin the day that it was born. That was its birthday. Conception occurred 9 months previously. When it was time, the baby was birthed into the world, and the baby came into the world, and the world takes notice because they hear the baby crying out and making noise. And that's what happened there in Acts chapter 2. The church went out into the world, and it cried out, and it made noise, and the people heard it, and the people marveled, and they saw that there was something going on there, and God used that in order to start the movement that began as the disciples began preaching the word of God. Peter preached a tremendous message that day. Thousands of people were saved. And then, of course, we read the rest of the book of Acts. You can see as the gospel continued to move out. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. Got more to talk about, and had somebody send in a question to get to as well. But we also have a caller calling in. We have John calling in this afternoon. John, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, sir. I just have a real quick question I wanted to get your opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a preacher preach on the speaking of tongues one time, and he said that when the apostles spoke to the crowd, they were actually speaking in their own language, but the Spirit was allowing the crowd to hear them in their language. I just want to get your opinion on that.
Well, actually, let's go ahead and read what it says here.
Okay.
Yeah, because it'll answer your question here. And I'll read two verses here. Acts chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. I believe, actually in verse 8, answers the question that you just asked. It says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded." Notice what he says here, "because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" And then he says in verse 8, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" So, yeah, the Bible says clearly they heard in their own language. Now, as to what they were speaking when they spoke, it doesn't really clearly, let me take that back. It says in verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So, like I said, chapter 2 here, verse 4, says specifically that they spake with other tongues. That would be other languages. And then verse 6 through 8 talks about how the languages that they spoke with were languages of the people that were gathered there. So they heard them speak in their own language. And then, of course, verses 9 through 11 lists a variety of languages that they were that were represented. So, I've heard what you said before too. I've heard people say they spoke and the people heard them in their own languages, but and that's what it appears to say if you just look at verses 6 through 8, or even the list of languages. But when you tie in verse number 4, it specifically says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I would say that God gave them this miraculous ability. They did speak in languages that they did not necessarily know. And then, of course, the people heard them in their languages as they were speaking.
Okay.
So does that help?
Okay. That helped a lot.
Yeah. And that's why I said I wanted to read the scripture, because best way to get an answer to a question is if the scripture specifically says something, then you know it's not opinion.
Right. That's what I wanted to make sure, because I was reading through that Acts myself, and I wasn't picking up where this guy was getting from until you read it, and it just hit me as soon as you read it. I didn't catch it at first. So.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that, because, like I said, I would have been tempted to say, well, they heard them, but it doesn't say how they spoke, but it does specifically say, verse 4, they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Right.
So.
Well, I thank you for your help.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I appreciate your call today. So thank you so much. All right, God bless. And again, if you've got a question or about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We're coming down to the end of the program here, and I still had more I wanted to get into on the tongues issue in 1 Corinthians, talking about it, but I did have a question that was provided for me. I had a caller who was on the air, or did not want to come on the air, and I can understand. They've been involved in a relationship that was not a relationship that obviously that we would endorse. The specific statement was that they had committed adultery and recently divorced, and they wanted to know, according to the Bible, am I allowed to remarry? Now, obviously, adultery is a sin. We understand that. And we know instances in the Bible where there are people who committed adultery who came to Christ, and God forgave them of their sin. And I apologize, in the last few minutes that we have, I won't be able to get a detailed answer here, but perhaps we can revisit this next week or something and talk about this a little bit more. But we do have some conflicting views, and I just want to throw these out there right now. We have one side of the issue that says if somebody has remarried, if they've been divorced, then under no circumstances are they allowed to remarry. And then we have people who say, well, yes, if they've been divorced, they can remarry. And so we need to find the biblical position here in this situation. One thing I would clearly say, and this is one thing I think even people who agree that if somebody's been divorced, if their previous spouse is no longer alive, and you think I've done many weddings and been the participant in weddings, including getting married myself, and the vows, you know, are till death do you part, and so. If the spouse that you're divorced from is no longer alive, obviously you are exempt from those vows. But we do know that the Bible, under the Jewish law, had a unique sort of thing of divorcement under the Mosaic law, where basically they could divorce under pretty easy situations. The husband could give his wife, I think it was a paper that said, I divorced thee, and they could be divorced. But when we look at a divorce and adultery, we're looking at a violation of the marriage vows, and it's a serious thing because the Bible tells us that marriage is a picture of the union of Christ and His church. And when you're breaking that up, it's a violation. It's an attack upon that picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. Unfortunately, I've run out of time here. I'm not going to be able to go much further with this, but I do apologize. We'll have to pick this up another time. I've only got about 5 seconds left. So I hope you'll listen again. Join us next time, and God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.